This is Kath and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Kath Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is breaking news, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here on Captain J. Hood. Dan.
Gentlemen, thank you very much and good morning. Chicago Blackhawks official Twitter page. Hall of Fame play-by-play broadcaster Pat Foley will call his final season of Blackhawks hockey during the 2021-2022 campaign. A titan of the NHL and Chicago broadcasting community, Foley's 39th season in the booth will include a year-long celebration.
Oh, stop. Ooh. Why can't we have nice things in this town?
That's tough.
Okay, are you telling me that that's his decision? And if you tell me it is, I'll tell you you're full of you-know-what.
The Chicago Blackhawks official Twitter page did not let us know whose decision this was.
I guarantee it wasn't his. And I haven't talked to him. That guy's awesome. They have the best booth going.
Correct.
They've been around forever. Edzo's a freaking... What does it mean for Edzo?
Well, first of all, Foley couldn't get to 40, huh? 39. 39th season will be his last. You know, I grew up listening to Pat Foley do that broadcast solo.
Yes.
That's what I grew up listening to Blackhawks, because I'm a Savard, Larmer, Secord guy.
Yep.
That's my team.
Bannerman.
Those are my guys, right?
Yeah.
Those battles against the Minnesota North Stars. And Foley did not have a color analyst. It was just Pat. And Pat was great describing the action. And to know that he's no longer going to be with the Blackhawks after this upcoming season, that's a tough blow.
Somebody's got to explain that to me. He's like 67, I believe. Danny, can you check? I think he is. He is not married. He has no kids. He plays golf in the summer, and he does an amazing job calling professional hockey in the winter with the great Eddie Olczyk, who all I know is, I've asked Edzo, what's your future there? I know he's going to TNT, and he just says, hey, I'm under contract, man. I got another year on my deal, and I love calling Blackhawks hockey.
67 years old.
Okay.
Officially.
So what's he going to do with himself? Go fishing?
By the way, that story about Edzo, he's on TNT officially? He's part of the number one crew?
Yes, number one crew.
Okay.
At TNT.
Well, so, it's interesting. I thought for our baseball teams and our hockey team, we have the best TV radio combo, right?
Yes.
I'm a Weidman Murray guy, too. I think
very good booth.
Weidman is... fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And he and Murray do a great job on the radio side. And I thought on TV, well, you've got the number one analyst in hockey in Edzo, right? The number one analyst. And Pat Foley. And so even those years he's with the Wolves, Cap, I watched the Wolves because Pat was calling those games with Billy Gardner.
Correct.
So obviously Foley has a special part in my heart because that's the guy I grew up listening to in the 80s. That's stunning.
Someone's got to explain. There's got to be more to this than this is literally what the tweet says. Danny read it. Hall of Fame play-by-play broadcaster. Let those words sink in. Hall of Fame play-by-play broadcaster Pat Foley will call his final season of Blackhawks hockey during the 2021-22 campaign. A titan of the NHL and Chicago broadcasting community, Foley's 39th season in the booth will include a year-long celebration.
Look, here's the thing. We all know that there's always going to be change. Usually that change happens because of money or because of ineptitude from a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this before, right? Doc Emrick, I thought, was at the top of his game. He goes, no, I'm missing players. I can't do this anymore. Wait a minute, Doc. You're the very best. The way he was able to describe the action, but he knew. It's not that we knew. Hey, we just know he's a great player. He knew, I don't have it anymore. You don't? Well, he knew. Foley, still top of his game as a TV play-by-play guy.
Phenomenal.
So usually you follow the money in that spot, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
But let me just tell you this, and I hope they're listening at 1901 West Madison Street in the Blackhawks offices. If you're going to get rid of this guy, Edzo has 1 year left on his deal. I've asked him. He's my friend. And he says, I got another year on my deal, and I'm excited to call Blackhawks hockey. I love the Blackhawks. That's Edzo in his veins, as he put it to me. How about a little accountability for the hockey operations that hasn't been to the freaking playoffs since 2016 when they were swept by Nashville? Hasn't been back since and doesn't look like they're any closer. And then they got a brewing scandal that went on there.
Well, the brewing scandal is, that's tough. You and I have both read those stories there.
Horrible.
And, and who knows what the organization looks like in a year from now. No, 6 months from now, based on what we read. That was not good at
no.
all.
No. And if you don't know what we're talking about, there was a very salacious scandal brewing about a former assistant coach and molestation allegations, like a whole bunch.
That's
and
ugly.
That team stinks.
Yeah.
So, that's just a fact.
So that, you know what that tells me is that this booth is going to be wiped out in a year. This TV booth is going to be wiped out.
Edsel?
That's what it sounds like to me. You said he has a year left on his deal?
1 year.
Okay, and he's already a national broadcaster with TNT. Like, I'm not pushing Edzo out the door, but just understand, once when you make a move like this, Cap, that means it's either money or ineptitude by the broadcaster. Like, Foley hasn't slipped.
Nope.
Okay, so it's money. You're trying to get a younger person in there or move Weidman up. And, I'm a Weidman fan, so if he went to TV, I would have no problem with it because I think he's an excellent play-by-play guy. So clearly there's a financial issue there when you see that. If Foley sucked or if you said, well, he's getting old in the job, he can't identify the players, that's not the case. He still has the same energy he had in the 80s as far as his excitement for the Blackhawks and calling the games. So that's tough, but I know change is inevitable. It's the business.
Yeah.
But I just think that in this situation, because you have a Hall of Fame broadcaster, that's one of the positives. That's one of the positives that you have in your organization right now.
You're telling me this will be his 39th season. You couldn't have said to him, hey, man, how about you do the 39th and we'll have you do the home games and so you have an even 40 years.
40 would be a nice round number.
And we'll assimilate someone else in.
I hate the goodbye tour, too. That was no good.
Agreed.
I'll give you an example of that, right? So John Rooney, at the end, when the Sox won the World Series, when he said, out, a White Sox winner, when he was done, like when that season was over, he was done with the White Sox.
Right, he went to the Cardinals.
But there was no goodbye tour. Like, his contract was up. The station down the dial wanted to have a new play-by-play. They moved Farmer over, but there was no goodbye tour. Like, I don't like that. He's got to go from place to place, and now he's got to say goodbye. I don't like that. If you're going to let him go, let him go. Don't do that.
So, again, here's Pat's quote.
Nope.
Listening to the great Lloyd Pettit fostered a love for the Chicago Blackhawks and broadcasting at an early age. To follow in his footsteps and broadcast for the team for nearly 40 years is a dream come true for Chicago native, Pat Foley.
Here's an interesting quote from Scott Powers, who used to work for us here at ESPN, but now he writes for The Athletic.
Good dude.
Foley's quote, I've had conversations with the Blackhawks about my future, and because I cannot guarantee that I would like to continue beyond the length of my contract that ends after next season, they must look ahead. I support and respect their plan to transition the broadcast booth.
Okay. Well, this is what he want to do, Cap. And what I mean, it's just I don't
believe it.
I just know that there's a guy that I have a very, you know, emotional attachment to as a Blackhawks fan. The radio under the pillow. Got to go to bed. Sorry, I got to listen to the Blackhawks. They're on the West Coast,
right?
Like that was me as a kid. JR, you understand? Like, Foley was great by himself doing those broadcasts.
I liked Foley before I liked hockey because I found him by accident looking for West Coast baseball, and I'm like, what is this guy talking about? He was so excited and so into it that he drew you into that broadcast. He painted a great mental picture.
I agree, and so this, one of the all-time greats.
This is also interesting, guys. Sorry, Hoodie. From Jeff Agress to the Sun-Times, Foley is going to call a portion of the schedule, and they're going to use the year to pass the torch to his successor.
Wow. That sucks, too.
So we might not even get all 82
games of Foley. We don't even get all 82 games of Foley. That just sucks. Hey, Edzo, we're going to try this person. Work with that one. And tomorrow you're going to work with that one. And the next week we'll have Pat back for two, and then you're going to work for four others. That's just stupid.
Hawk Benetti.
Okay.
Same scenario, right?
Okay,
remember?
Okay, so, yeah. Exactly. Okay. So what I'm saying to you is, why not say, Pat, you're going to do all 82 this game, this season. Then the following year, your 40th year, you're only going to do the home games. And that's when you transition. Why not? Yeah. Are they that devoid of money over there?
Well, you know, you wouldn't think so. Again, we always talked about this with the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bears and everything else. You're a major market. Act like that. Don't take a step back, man. This is the Rocky Wirtz administration. Don't take a step backwards. The old man, I can understand that. When, you know, when the old man was there, but like for Rocky, again, it's best. What they think is best is great. If that's how they feel, I just know that that guy to me still is a top-notch broadcaster. You had two great booths, the radio and the TV for the Blackhawks, and now you don't have that. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, really I truly believe upper management there does not realize that when you have a bad product, and right now their team's not good, you better have an entertaining broadcast, and those two made it entertaining.
So in a year, we're probably going to have a brand new booth on the TV side. We just got to get used to it. You know, I'll say this too, as an aside, when it comes to the Cubs broadcast too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm watching the game yesterday, and I like Ryan Dempster a lot on that broadcast. Where's JD?
I don't know.
What is this in and out with the broadcast? I don't like that. I don't like that. I didn't like Chris Myers being on the broadcast over the weekend. We speculated this before the season started when they get all these names of broadcasters when Boog's not there. Like, come on, man. You want your broadcaster to be there as much as possible. They're like, Stone has it in his contract he's going to miss a few weeks here and there on the White Sox.
Right.
I get that. He goes back home to Arizona, takes care of the dog. I get that, right? Because he deserves that. As a tenured broadcaster for many years, you want to take a few weeks off, that's fine. I put on the Cub game yesterday, like, Boog's fine, and I say, where's the chaise? I want my broadcasters, if I'm going to invest, I want my broadcasters there every week, too. Like, the Saturday and Sunday, no Boog. Chris Myers, the Dodger fan? Oh, wow, that home run deserves a wall. Get out of here, Myers.
Especially in baseball, where it's 6 months out of the year, every day, you have a different relationship with baseball broadcasters.
You ask right. them to be like a comfortable pair of slippers that you put on. You go, boy, these feel good. And you listen to the soundtrack of your summer.
Either my team thrives or really underachieves, but Harry's there every game.
Every game.
It's like Jack's there every game.
Right.
Ah, it's a Saturday afternoon here at Wrigley Field. But you're like, man, my team sucks, but there's Jack. At least Harry's there.
What's one of the coolest things when you go to a Blackhawks game? You can't miss the anthem.
Correct.
Well, what if they, hey, Danny, I'm going to save up. We're going to take the kids. We're going to go to the game. They show up. We're not doing it tonight. What?
Really? Just the organ tonight.
Just the organ.
I'd be better off if they kept Foley and lost that anthem. I mean, the anthem.
Are you crazy?
I like the anthem, but now it's just overdramatic with the pointing to the flag.
You know why he does that?
Yes, I know. You've told the story.
There were three little old ladies, so we can't see when you point at the flag. So the next day he raised it up to waist level. We can't see it. Bam! There goes the hand all the way up the top. Now the whole stadium does it. It's awesome.
Back to the Zobra story.
Okay, we will take a quick time out, come to your calls, and talk some NBA draft lotto as the Bulls.
Yeah,
not good.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Lineups out for the White Sox. Don't forget, we are your home for White Sox baseball. And we will have White Sox Pirates coverage starting at 11 o'clock here. Don't forget, you can listen to us at Crystal Clear FM. That would be 100.3 HD2. You can listen to us on ESPN 1000. You can listen to us on our app, ESPN Chicago. Download the app for Google Play Store or for the iTunes store, and you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Thank you, Twitch.
Starting lineup for the White Sox. Tim Anderson will lead off and play short. Yoan Moncada will bat second and play third base. Jose Abreu will be in the three-hole playing first. Jake Lamb will play right field and clean up.
What do you mean he's hitting fourth?
You got half your roster Lamb on the injured list.
Holy is the Lamb.
Fifth will be the catcher, Yasmani Grandal, with his buck whatever average.
Don't worry about it. He gets on base. That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Center field will be Brian Goodwin in the six hole. The second baseman will be Garcia. The left fielder will be some dude named Gonzalez. And the starting pitcher batting ninth will be Dylan Cease. May I ask you a quick trivia question? Name me the last player, most recent player, to play for both the Cubs and White Sox.
Don Paul.
No, it's not Don Paul.
You asked me the question.
The answer is not Don Paul.
It's not Donnie Paul.
Dave Otto.
It's not Dave Otto.
Palindrome, O-T-T-O.
O-T-T-O.
No, I don't know.
The answer would be, I said it was Steve Cishek, and I was incorrect. It is Billy Hamilton. He had 2 weeks with the Cubs last year. I forgot all about
that. Oh, I forgot about that.
Billy Hamilton era with the Cubs. All right, Don so Paul? The NBA draft lotto was last night. Danny truly believed that the Bulls were going to get lucky and get one of the top four picks.
It had nothing to do with luck. I felt like it would be good for the NBA for the Chicago Bulls to be relevant, just like it's good for the Knicks to be relevant.
So and you're saying there was a little, you thought there might be a little conspiracy to help us out.
I truly believe that that happens. Like, what are the odds the kid from Akron ends up with the Cleveland Cavalier? What are the odds when the Bulls had, what was it, a 4% chance to get the number one pick?
1.9.
Yes. The kid from Chicago, Derrick Rose, ends up on the Bulls. Ayton last year ended up on the Phoenix Suns. He went to high school and college there, and now he's playing in Phoenix as a number one overall pick. I feel like at times the NBA says, sure, this might not be the fair and right thing to do, but we have to do what's good for business. And I believe that the Bulls being good and relevant is good for business, and us having a top four pick would have meant something, and I was sure we were going to get one.
And Orlando ends up being the fifth pick in the lottery last night, correct?
Eighth
pick.
They got our eighth pick.
Our eighth pick. Well, I mean, that's just going to happen. Here, I told Cap just a couple of days ago, I go, you know, I'm tired of the kids. It's time for you to be able to find some veteran leadership on this team. You need a lead guard. You got to be able to find that somehow, some way. And when I'm watching the NBA playoffs, I always think about the Bulls, right? I think, boy, what if the Bulls are in this spot? How excited the city would be to see the Bulls in a stratosphere where they're in the playoffs. Cap, your cornerstone players are Zach LaVine and Vucevic. That's not enough.
Agreed.
Like, Pat Williams eventually is going to develop, and I don't know what that's going to be, mm-hmm. but you have two guys. You see these playoffs, right? It's three guys on your main starting lineup and then quality bench players, veterans or young guys. Like, Pat Connaughton is the key to the Bucks and what they do because he's a three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. When you tighten up your rotations, you got to have at least four or five guys you could trust, right?
Agreed. And you've got to have more to space the floor shooting. Coby White's going to be rehabbing a shoulder injury that had surgery. He may not even be ready for the start of the season. His shoulders are tricky.
Knock on wood, man. Hopefully that he'll be ready to go. But that's where the NBA is right now. And so, you know, listen, like Pat Williams is the guy I'm looking at right now. Paul, right? Pat Williams.
Paul.
Yeah, I like him. I like him as a guy for the future.
And he knows that he has to be all in this summer. It's all about getting better and developing. Pat Connaughton, by the way, second round draft pick, number 41 overall. So hopefully the days of us selling the 38th pick because there's nobody on the board that we really like. How about taking a freaking flyer? Sylvie was out there screaming about it, and he was exactly right.
He's right.
Exactly right.
Sylvie was right. You got to stop stashing the euro in the second round. Or just push, selling it, put it to the side. Like, you have to, if you have two draft picks, Cap, hey, man, find guys that could fit your system.
I don't have a problem stashing euros if you're drafting them, because that's how they got a guy like Jokic in Denver. We have a kid that we stashed that AK thinks could come over and be a very good NBA player.
What's his name, Samanovic? What's his name?
Itch something.
Okay. Jurkovic.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I just don't like. You took. Would they get $2 million for the pick?
Right.
Stop. Stop yourself.
Yeah.
Your team stinks. You need talent. Pat Connaughton went number 41. Jokic was a second round pick. He's the MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he's not the true best player in the league, but he won the award. He's damn good. Just keep adding freaking talent to the roster.
Just understand, Cap, that you are just trying to build out of this. Remember where the Bulls were. Like, I know that, like, Bulls fans are itchy, right? And they're like, oh, you know, I want us to be in the – listen, the Bulls will be in the playoffs at some point. Billy Donovan is no dummy. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
And you saw that it was a different day for the Bulls when they made those wholesale changes. Like, Paxson Gar would have never done that before the deadline. Are you kidding me? Like, they would have hung on to – and Gafford was a nice player. You saw him with the Wizards. He fit in nicely. But they would have never made that many changes. All these guys that are, quote-unquote, promised playing time in the previous regime, they're like, get out of here, man. You don't fit our system. Get out of here.
You're gone.
Yeah, the Bulls would have never done that in the past. So you know it's a new day for this. Now, you've just got to be able to identify talent. I know – Danny, that you would get excited about the draft because it feels new and fresh. But my God, how many young players are you going to continue to stockpile? I don't want the Bulls to be the Kings. I don't want that. All this young talent and you never go anywhere. All right. Yeah, but now, Billy Donovan can cultivate young talent, but I want veterans in here. That's what I want.
By the way, back to the second round discussion we're having.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton, who I love. Chris Middleton was the 39th pick in the 2012 draft by Detroit, and then they acquired him. He's a second-round pick. He's a beast.
He's a heartbeat of the Bucks to me. Not Giannis, actually. I think it's Middleton.
Yeah, I mean...
To me.
I agree with you. He's their heartbeat.
Yeah.
Giannis is their most talented player.
But you need to have that dog on the team, though, right?
100%.
That guy's going to make the hard shots and make the hard defensive plays. Like, Middleton, to me, is the heart of that team. Like, clearly, Giannis has all the talent, two-time MVP. If you're going to construct an NBA player, you want him to look like that. Those shoulders, those arms, that length, that ability to be able to put the ball on the floor, to take it to the basket, to shoot from the... He has all those attributes, but I like Middleton even more.
Explain to me, give me the lottery pick, the top of the draft guy that they have on their roster that they draft and develop that you go, well, that guy's the key to the team. They don't have it. Giannis was what, number 15? Didn't he go 15th or 14th? 15th.
Yep.
He was the 15th pick in the first round. Middleton's a second rounder. Connaughton's a second rounder. They went out and added P.J. Tucker, who's 36 years old, to try and put them over the top this year as a defender.
Veteran.
Bobby Portis, veteran guy that they acquired. Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday. Like, come on, man. Let's go.
You want the Bulls to be that. I get that. It's going to take time, though. Remember, what they're digging themselves out of a hole from where they were in the previous regime.
Correct.
However the Bulls organization wants to take that, I couldn't care less. We saw the losing. We saw the team going backwards. Okay, you're trying to build towards something, and you never got to where you need to be because it was a brick wall. Now I believe the Bulls are moving forward in the right direction. Do you have something on Ben Simmons quickly?
Yes, I do. Stephen A. Smith. Who? Stephen A. Smith was on set yesterday. Danny was like, oh, my God. He's on set with his cell phone, and he gets a text. And here's what he had to say about Ben Simmons.
I just received, you know how Max, I get my text messages during the show. Y'all know that. I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, he doesn't work. He doesn't listen. And everyone around him is family. And he's constantly babied.
Oof.
How about that?
That's tough.
Constantly baby, doesn't work hard, all the stuff you don't want to hear. And all the people in town are like, we should trade for him. Okay, first of all, he's got $100 million left on his deal. $100 million. And to get close in salary, which is by rule you have to do that, who are you giving up? Who are you giving up?
No one on this basketball team. I mean, you can make trades, but I mean, you won't get the same talent if you're Philly for a guy like Ben Simmons. I think his trade value is almost nil right now based on how he performed.
A number of teams, as you hear, say no interest. No interest. Now, if he was an unrestricted free agent and he's taking a one-year prove-it deal, bring him on. You want me to give you really good assets for that guy who's afraid to shoot the ball? How do I win with that?
Can I tell you how the NBA has changed? There's people in NBA circles that says that Ben should work with LeBron in the offseason. How weird is that, right?
Weird.
This is like LeBron plays for the Lakers. Like, work with LeBron. Work with other players that you oppose every day. Work with those guys. It's like, anytime I hear the rumor that Ben Simmons is trying to be a righty because he shoots from the left, he's trying to learn on the fly.
For $100 million left on the deal.
While you're in the NBA, you're going to learn how to... Now, he can be ambidextrous. I understand that. But if you're... He shoots left, and they say, we're going to make him shoot right more often. Like you're learning now how to do that? Afraid to shoot the basketball. Here's the resume. Here's a LinkedIn resume. I'm afraid to shoot the ball in the fourth quarter.
Correct.
I'm afraid to shoot the ball or take it to the basket. I'm at the basket, and I kick it out. I had a chance to tie the game with 3:44 left in the fourth quarter and I won't do it. I'll pass it out. Why? That's a guy that's afraid to fail. I'd rather for you to shoot the basketball and fail than to not try at all.
Well said.
How do you back out of the offense? If you were a coach, you'd be furious. You'd be kicking his ass. Yeah. Like, dude, man, like if you're underneath the basket, if you don't feel like you can shoot the basketball, get to the basket. Well, if I do that, I'll get fouled and I don't want people to see me shoot.
Then get on the bench. You can't play for me. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot is next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I see.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by the wonderful people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, David Emmanuel Kaplan.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Hood.
What's up, man?
What up, guy?
What's up, man?
How good. You feeling, bro?
I'm good. Chilling.
You sound like it, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's at 100.3 FM, that HD2 has got me bassy.
Your voice very, was made very, for the bassy. FM.
This is, hey, Jonathan Hood.
Before doing sports talk, I was doing music. I was a DJ doing music, you know, for like a couple of years. And I said, you know, like, this is cool, but I don't talk enough. I wish I talked less.
I could hear you introducing a CNC Music Factory song.
Yeah, that was fun. I was like, but I'm not talking enough.
I'll get a sports talk.
Yeah, I'll get a sports talk show.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Kyle Hendricks of your Chicago Cubs extended the best streak of his career and the longest by a Cub pitcher since Jake Arrieta won 9 consecutive starts to bridge the 2015-2016 season. He is now 10-4. Hendricks hasn't lost since Pittsburgh beat him on May 9th. His ERA has plummeted from 6.23 to 3.84 in that span. We all remember John Lester and Jake Arrieta carrying the Cubs on their multiple playoff runs. But, gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, when all is said and done, Kyle Hendricks should be considered the Cubs' best pitcher from the championship team.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good question, Danny.
Well, thank you, JR.
Note that, Black and Abdallah.
What are you doing there?
They will not give it to me.
Why?
I'm not allowed to have one.
Why?
I think because JR is not a guest.
Oh, okay. I like that segment. I think it's a creative segment that they put together. Giving them love.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
And a swift kick.
Gentlemen, shot or no shot, when all is said and done, Kyle Hendricks should be considered the Cubs' best pitcher from the championship era.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot because he's going to have more staying power. He will have more wins. He will end up being the guy that started the game that won the pennant, started game 7 that they won the World Series. And if Danny's favorite manager hadn't yanked him so quickly, it might never have been close and we'd have won. But that's an aside. Yes, that's a shot.
Yeah, you know, this is no problem, no shot at John Lester. But I say, you mentioned staying power. That's the key to that whole thing here with Kyle Hendricks. So I will say shot to that. I think that's very good. That's a great question.
Thank you very much, Eddie. He is so under the radar. It's unbelievable, Kyle Hendricks, isn't it?
And a great dude.
All-star Kyle Hendricks.
He better
he
be.
He will be.
He yeah. better
burst
be.
Burst to 10 wins in the National League, and he's tied with Aaron Civale, who would have gotten his 11th the other night, and they had to yank him with two outs in the fifth because of the finger injury that probably is sending him to the injured list.
Mm.
On to Arlington Heights' favorite football team, your Chicago Bears. After opting out last season, Eddie Goldman did not show up for mandatory minicamp. He was not present at the OTAs that were open to the media, which led many beat reporters to believe he took a pass on the voluntary offseason program. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, there's a chance Eddie Goldman does not play for your Chicago Bears again this season.
That's a no shot. He'll be there.
Yes, I completely agree with my friend Jonathan Hood. No shot.
That is a no shot. And we've seen this across the NFL where it's supposed to be mandatory and guys are not showing up because they're working out with their own people, whatever the reason, right? He'll be there. He'll be there, but just not when the Bears want him, clearly.
Correct.
But wouldn't you think a man that took off a whole season would be chomping at the bit to get back in there with the guys, would show up to the offseason programs because he missed a whole season? This is a guy that, if he loves football so much, could not wait to, you'd think he'd be drooling to get back on the field. And now he's like, nah, guys, I'm going to pass.
He's drooling to play. He's not drooling to go through camp drills.
He hasn't done anything. He needs to get in shape. Why are you laughing?
I wish people could see on the other side. I don't want to say it because I'm not. I don't want to give up, like break the fourth wall. I wish people could see.
I know
what's
exactly
happening.
What you're.
No, just
like,
break it. Break the fourth wall.
No. I don't want to. It's just so funny. This what's around this show every day. If people could see like the entire thing, not just me and Cap on our side, but just on the other side, just like there's a dressing room. All of a sudden, we're doing a show. There's a dressing room.
Right, and there's a naked man on the other side of the glass.
Like, what is going on? We got shot or no shot. We got a naked man over here. What is, I mean, this show, I swear, man, there's so many things going on. So many plates spinning on this show.
Yes.
There's a naked man over there. All right, go ahead.
I didn't even notice. Gentlemen, moving on. Wisconsin's men's basketball seniors confronted Greg Gard in a secretly recorded meeting. There were 11 people in the room. Guard, his three assistants, and the team's seven seniors. A secretly recorded 37-minute audio file from that gathering was sent to the State Journal via an anonymous email account late Monday afternoon.
And that's the newspaper. That's the newspaper of record. There.
Correct. Now, while
get
it only
provided...
Get
your beak out of there. Nobody, people know what that is.
Some people don't even know what newspapers are. Stop yourself.
Let Danny tell the story. That's the newspaper of record. I want people to know.
Make it sure.
Chicago Defender, the newspaper of record.
Take that.
You get out of here.
Now, while that tape provides only a part of what was said during the meeting, the recorded portion is filled with pointed criticism directed at Guard by his senior player. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, secretly recording and then sharing that tape is kosher?
No shot. Those kids are all jackass times a billion. You want to go after your coach and tell him you don't think he's this or that? That's fine. That's what those types of meetings are for. Let's clear the air and see if we can move forward. They did get to the second round of the NCAA tournament. To leak it to the media like that, like sending it anonymously to a reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal so it can embarrass the coach, embarrass the program, those kids embarrass themselves. Jackasses.
What kind of kids are they recruiting there? On Wisconsin is a family. It's tight. You know, Wisconsin's tight, man. What's going on there? Like, okay, question. Did he physically abuse those kids?
No.
I mean, outside of just a normal coaching and trying to get kids motivated, did he eviscerate those kids verbally?
Apparently.
I mean, okay, well, that's part of the coaching.
Then transfer. Then leave. You know what?
Yeah.
Say it at the meeting, I don't like you, and I'm sure some of that's on that tape. I don't want to play for you anymore. I don't like your program. But to cowardly, Greg was in tears during the meeting, trying to make things right. Tell me where I should be better. I want to be better with you guys. And then mail the tape to the newspaper?
I hate that. I hate that story.
Okay, do you think the newspaper should have printed it?
Yeah, it's part of the journalism, yeah. You kind of have to. That's your job.
Right.
You get that kind of, that makes the story, that makes your paper for not a week, but for a season, for a while. Because you broke that story, so you got to do it. I don't like it, but you have to do it.
Yep.
It's in-house, man. Like, if you don't like it, that's why the portal system's wide open. If you don't like it,
leave.
I hate that story.
Yeah, that's an awful story. And whether Greg was right or wrong, that the fact that you secretly recorded it and sent it to a newspaper tells me all I need to know about the character of those kids.
Danny?
Gentlemen, quickly, one last one. So Sexy Beast is a new dating show on Netflix where real-life singles are going to sport elaborate makeup and prosthetics to put true blind date chemistry to the test. Now, I tweeted this out. You have to see the trailer, at D. Zetterman. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, from watching the trailer and me describing it, this will be the greatest TV show in the history of television.
No, it will not be the greatest. Well, I have to see it first. I see the trailer. But just, okay, if the guys and the women are wearing costumes, now there's chemistry as far as the conversation, but you can't really see their face. Now, someone like you, Danny, you would have to see their face. You know, you just can't look like a Halloween costume and think that you have a connection with someone.
No, I'm 100% shallow. I need to see what the person looks like.
Of course.
But in the trailer, right, the costumes they're wearing aren't just like this thing you'd buy on Halloween. They're done up like major motion picture costumes. And these people, like, one guy's dressed as a panda and the girl's dressed as an alien, and they are going to a bowling alley to bowl, and there are actual people in the bowling alley that look like civilians staring at them. It looks like it is going to be the most amazing show ever. Ever! Better than Seinfeld and The Sopranos and Breaking Bad.
And Martin. I don't know. This is it looks weird, man.
It is. It is the level they go to for the disguise is incredible.
Right. I mean, you could be on that, Cap. Make you look better.
All in.
Cap would be great on this show because he's got a loud, boisterous personality. You cover him up in, like, let's say a monkey costume, he would win over every woman.
Do you like the soup? I love the soup.
Take that.
You like horse racing? Oh, God. Let's take a look at the second race. At Sportsman's. They don't even run anymore.
I mean, that'd be perfect for you.
They can't see me. Look at me. They can't see me. I'm Cap.
I'm not a huge TV program guy. I would watch that. I'd give it a try.
You ever watch The Masked Singer?
No.
Yes.
That's a great show. They have, like, a professional person. Like, they could be an actor. They could be a magician. They could be a singer. They could be an athlete. And I think Antonio Brown was on it. And yes, they put them in a costume like that, and they go up and sing and perform, and the judges have to rate whether they're good or bad and figure out who they are.
Peacock and I watch that. I mean, she watches it more than I do, but I just kind of look in, and it's like, oh, you're watching The Masked Singer. You know that's Gladys Knight, right? She goes, no, it's not. And then the mask comes off. Take it off. Take it off. And all of a sudden, it's Gladys Knight. You spoiled it for me! Like, well, I'm just telling you, I know what that sounds like.
You got an ear.
Wendy Williams was on there. How you doing? She was singing on there as well. It's like, yeah, someone that tall, that busty. Yep, that's Wendy Williams.
No question.
Those burnt legs. Yeah. You know what? That looks like Wendy Williams.
All right, the midweek top 10.
What?
The midweek top 10. I spotted Letterman in the building.
Oh, no.
Yep. We'll be right back.
Not in my format.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Oh, boy.
The midweek top 10.
What do you mean?
We have a top 10 list.
Well, this is not on my format.
David Letterman has been doing some consulting here in the building. So, Danny.
I can't hear you. What's that?
Danny has roped Letterman into doing these top 10s for us. I don't know how long it'll continue.
This is not on my format, Danny. Danny's looking for the button. All right.
Oh, I know where everything is. I like this seat, man. I can see you clear, Johnny.
How about that? Danny's on the board.
I'll tell you,
nervous.
This board's never sounded smoother.
Yeah. What's that? All right.
Those cheers are for me.
20 years in the business. He's never run the board.
Smooth, right?
Like a brick in the face.
Danny, oh, God. The ship is going down.
Well, we're going to see what happens here. Paul, nice to see you.
Good to see you. Dave.
Where are your glasses, by the way?
I got contacts.
Anyway, we were discussing earlier in the week about the concept of Cap going to the Van Gogh Museum with his family and having to give up his phone. So he is told to pay attention, not tweet, not check scores. We found this to be kind of an outrageous request, especially for Cap. If you know him, he is glued to his phone.
Yes.
So the top 10 list today, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 things Cap would give up before his phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10.
This is kind of my format. Eric.
Copy. Gentlemen, the top 10 things that Cap would give up before his phone. Number 10, pretending to meditate. Wow. Number 9, listening to music.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Hi-o.
Number 8, doing around the office.
I like my doots. F off.
Top 10 things Cap would give up before his phone. Number 7, telling the Dirk story.
I haven't told that in so long.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Go ahead.
Number 6, White
Sox.
Keep
out of it.
Number 6, his White Sox season tickets.
Hi-oh! There goes the card.
Number 5, saying, take that.
That's a no-shot.
Top 10 things Cap would give up before his phone. Number 4, shopping at Whole Foods.
Ah, yes. No question about that.
No chance.
Yeah, Jewel is the Aldi. The Jewels is the Aldi for him. That's
for
sure.
How were those cherries I brought you?
Good. You got them off a truck.
What are you
stealing?
You're stealing my bid giving hoodie fruit? I brought him Rainier cherries.
You should have seen it last week. It was out of control. You done, Paul?
Yes.
Thank you. Back to the organ for you, Paul.
Number 3, wardrobe changes. Wardrobe changes. I know that would be a tough one for you, Cap.
It would. My wife's laughing right now.
Number 2, looking at himself in the mirror.
Ah, yes.
I just read them, folks. I don't write them all. Top 10 things Cap could give up before his phone. Number 1, Mindy.
Ah, yes.
That's a never.
Very good.
That's a never.
Thank you very much. And there goes the pencil.
There. All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. I don't know how much longer you're going to be in Chicago, but it's great to have you here in the studio.
See, Cap, you have to understand, that's a funny bit.
That was very good.
Now, you'll get a text message in about 15 minutes to talk about how funny that bit is, and then you'll say, boy, that was good.
I enjoyed that bit.
Yeah,
it could go the other way around with Cap. Whoever was listening that text to him could have been offended by that, and then it'll be like, that was a terrible bit.
I actually enjoyed that bit.
I liked it.
Very funny.
You'll get it. Carm, nobody asked you whether you liked it or not. You get out of there.
Keep your beak out of it.
Carm's always got the little comment at the end.
He does.
Nobody asked you, Carm. You get out of there.
Anyway.
Carm.
We'll crosstalk with those two fine gentlemen known as Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.